this is Captain Matt Breen talking. We, as a unit, flew over 120 missions over Iraq, all of them very successful, and much of it due to the great maintainers, the great support that we had back at our unit, and the profile of the mission. Well, it all started well before the mission, getting plenty of rest, getting hydrated, and taking care of our bodies so that we could prosecute a long mission. This is worth between 12 and 17 hours long. There were some threats encountered. We were able to evade those threats and get our big bodies back home.
Could you say a bit more perhaps about the types of missions you flew? Was it against strategic targets or close air support, a mixture of those? A little bit more about that perhaps.
Yes, sir. Back to Lieutenant Colonel John Stewart, aircraft commander. We flew a variety of missions, close air support and interdiction.
Yeah.
As well as leaflet drops across the northern half of the country. The close air support involved working with our ground troops. They'd ID enemy forces and pass us coordinates. And the offense on the aircraft would prosecute the targets, determine what type of weapons, how many, what axis of attack, and prosecute the targets. Go ahead.
So this is Staff Sergeant Lopez with Air Force Print News. What I want to know is, first of all, how long were you as a unit deployed overseas right now, and what was the mood like going over to the war before it started, as compared to the mood now as you're flying back? Now, what's it going to be like going back to the training environment after you just come out of an operational environment, sir?
I'll take the first half and then I'll pass it off to some other crew members. First off, back to the BBC reporter, we'd like to express our great thanks for the wonderful support over here. As far as flying, we had been previously deployed last fall in support of Operation Enduring Freedom and had only been home briefly. So the unit and our group and squadron has lots of experience, lots of combat experience to return home for the holidays and then prepare to deploy out again. So our experience level is really quite high, combat experience. Everybody... The deployment over for the bombers went very well. The operation was quickly stood up and morale was high. Morale was high throughout the deployment. And I can tell you, I got 8 guys on board right now that are very, very excited to be heading home. And I think morale was high throughout because of the tremendous support that we got from home plate.
This is Kathy Lynn from the American Forces Force Service. I was wondering when you expect to reach home and what kind of mission-related things you'll have to do once you get back to the States before you're able to spend some time with your families. And what are you looking forward to most when you get home?
Well, we are currently airborne on our way home. And according to the regs, we'll get some rest and relaxation time for about a week to spend with our families and getting reacquainted. And I think all of us are looking to spend some time with our kids, go to concerts, some basketball games, and that kind of stuff.
And this is Kathy Rem again. And how long, just approximately how long of a flight home is it And for all of you, this is really kind of the longest flight you've had so far on this mission.
The flight home will be about 9 to 10 hours, and it's not, it's much shorter than our combat mission order. They tended to be around 14 to 14 and a half hours for the combat mission, round robin from the forward operating base to Iraq and home.
And our flight today will take us out over the North Atlantic, south of Iceland, across southern Greenland, and then down into Canada, and down across Lake Winnipeg, and into North Dakota.
Answer again.
Command 01, this is Lodge 2 Street. Answer again, sir.
For Iron Man 1, the flight will be approximately 9 hours. We're headed out over the North Atlantic now. We'll travel south of Iceland on the Great Circle Route, south across southern tip of Greenland, and then down into Canada, across Lake Winnipeg, and down into North Dakota.
Yeah, this is Steve Trimble from Aerospace Daily again. I just wanted to ask you about the close air support role and see if, was there anything different that you did when you communicated with either the ground controllers or the KAOC, and how you worked that process.
19 seconds, you're not answering. Hotel, 3, 6, time, 2-0, obligation, Bob Yankee, I say again, Sky.
Yes, sir, Captain, Matt Breach again, Robert here. This is really not a new role for the B-52. We've been doing this since Vietnam. Granted, with the technology, we've come a long way with that, as being able to do direct communication as well as being able to see our targets, especially with the new technologies coming online. But it's really not a new mission for us. We prosecuted well. Crews are very well trained, and as a crew, we always make sure that we're hitting the right targets at the right time.
Iron Man 1, this is Lisa Burgess with Sergeant Strike. Can you tell us if you encountered anything that surprised you, or any unexpected resistance or tactics or anything unusual about this mission, since you have a lot of combat experience?
Captain Scott Fager from Loma, Colorado. These missions, we did not really encounter any defenses that were particularly difficult or new. Many of us had experience over Kosovo and also over Afghanistan. So the weapons that they used were all old Soviet-style weapons, very similar tactics and engineering. Some of the tactics that the Iraqis developed during the last 10 years were launching ballistic missiles. Those are far easier to defeat than some kind of guided missile. Most of our challenges tended to be just getting support and other aircraft up into the northern parts of Iraq with us, where B-52s and carrier assets seem to carry the fight.
I'm sorry, this is Lisa Burgess again. Could you repeat the last part of what you were saying and expand a little bit about, we missed the point about the carrier assets, over.
Yes, ma'am. As you know, there were not many Air Force assets to the
Command 1. This is Major Tim Wheeler. I'm asking this question on behalf of the Denver Post, who's listening in. If any of the crew members want to answer, what do you see, what was one of your best memories of the experience, your foremost memory of the experience? Over.
Yes, ma'am, this is Major Justin Rice. Throughout the whole time, we had great support from not just crew members flying the combat mission, but we had wonderful support from our maintenance personnel, security personnel. The dining hall, when we first got there, wasn't real good food, but it steadily increased as we went along. Got to where that was just like at home, thanks to our services support. Everybody over there, every mission we went on, the chaplain had a blessing for us and went out to the jet and blessed us before we went. So the best memory there is how everybody contributed and made the missions go and made it so that we could support our troops on the ground and keep them out of harm's way.
And it's the Lieutenant Colonel John Stewie, one of the highlights for us. Along with accomplishing the mission so well, doing everything that we were asked to do as a group. One of the highlights, General Tommy Frank stopped in to see us last week, and that was a great honor, and came to the podium and told a couple of jokes and put the crowd at ease, a real great American hero, and it was nice to see him stop and take time to speak to all of us and congratulate us on a mission well done.
Go any further. The bombardier's name, can we get the bombardier's name, please?
Bombardier on this mission is Captain Chris Perry. Correction, Major Chris Perry.
Denver Post was, do you worry about any long-term health risks that may be associated with your deployment?
That's a negative from Iron Man 1.
And then if the crew members, when they answer a question, if they could say their name first.
Roger that. Go ahead with your question.
Do you worry about any long-term health risks that may be associated with your deployment? That was from the Denver Post.
Lieutenant Colonel John Stewie, that's negative for us. No health risks that we're worried about at all. I worry more about the smog at home in Denver.
We had another, I guess, Major, and if I pronounce his name wrong, I'm sorry. Is it Major Duty, who's from Prattville, Alabama? We've got the local Montgomery Advertiser, Prattville Progress. They're listening in on another line, and they wanted to know if there's any message you would like to convey to, back to the folks in Prattville.
Major Joe Gucci, just want to wish the family and everybody back in Prattville just appreciation for the support. I know my mom has been burning candles ever since I headed out over here. Put out a big war eagle to the Auburn fans out there.
Hi, this is Chris Wright from Fox News. Did the fact that
there weren't a lot of air assets other than B-52s and carrier-based planes available for northern Iraq because of basing issues. Did that mean you had to do more missions and different kinds of missions than you had planned? And another question, did you use the lightning pod already? I couldn't quite hear your answer earlier about that. Has that been used for close air support already?
Justin Wright, spell his name phonetically for us, please. Over.
Roger, that's Major Juliet Uniform Sierra Tango India November Romeo India Charlie.
Again, could Major Rice please tell us what his crew position is? And also, does anybody there remember any of the jokes that Frank told? And can you tell us one of them? Over.
Ma'am, Major Justin Rice, I am a bombardier. And stand by for the joke.
I guess you'll have to ask General Franks his jokes. They were great and they were clean, but we'll defer to him.
Major Wheeler from Public Affairs here again. We're going to wrap this up. Just, if there's any closing messages you all may have for them, the folks at home, or any, stories you want to share from your experience, and then we'll thank our media folks here for sitting through this with us.
Yeah, I'd like to give the crew members an opportunity to speak here, and then we'll wrap it up from Iron Man.
Yes, this is Major Justin Rice back. And I just want to put our gratitude forth from not just the crew here, but from everybody that was deployed with us, giving thanks to everybody back home supporting us. Everything in the mail, everything that we saw in the media as we were deployed, really made us proud, and proud to be serving our country, proud to be American. And the teamwork that we had and experienced as we were deployed really showed us where we come from and what we're made of. And we appreciate everybody back home and everybody we were deployed with.
Hi, from Iron Man, Lieutenant Colonel John Stewie. I'd like to echo those thoughts. the 457th Air Expeditionary Group stood up. Our group had a phenomenal history in World War II, flying B-17s out of Gallatin, and it was a great honor to reactivate the 457th, the B-52s, and your crew, maintainers and support folks did a marvelous job. We produced every mission you were asked, and we produced lethal and devastating firepower over northern Iraq. And I'm very proud of all of what was accomplished. And I'll tell you that having been around for nearly 20 years now, having this is the third time I've been through this. It is just great to have the support and the love from back home, because I can't imagine doing this job without having that level of support. And we're grateful to our leadership, and we're grateful to everybody back home that put out all the yellow ribbons and put out all the support for us. And we're one excited crew to be heading home right now, and look forward to seeing a wife and a couple of daughters here in a few hours. Go ahead.
Who was that?
Lieutenant Colonel John Stewie.
What is that? Tom? Rice's hometown is?
That's Waterloo, Iowa.
And Iron Man 1, we've got to run now. Got to use the radio to talk to Oceanic if that'll do it for you. Over.
We appreciate it. And this is Lieutenant Banda. Thank you.
Okay, Iron Man 1, terminate the patch. So long.
Romeo, Oscar, November, Mike, Alpha, November, 01, position.
Iron Man, 01, Shanwick, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Mark in Valix, time 1739er, flight level 260, estimate 60 north, 20 west, at 1823 Zulu, next, 60 north, 30 west, now copy.
Iron Man 01 Shamrock, roger, that's copy. The 20 West, call me on 6622.
6622 at